Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of uplifting, educational, and intimate discussions with local powerful women that have all made the commitment to take their businesses and organizations to a higher level. These entrepreneurs have turned their dreams into reality. They work hard, outshine, and they mean business. These women reveal and share their inspirations, milestones, and successes with your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Power Show. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest today is Marcia Danzig, and she has a new book titled Fierce Joy. Welcome to the show, Marcia.
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here today, and for many different reasons that we will, sort of disclose as the show unfolds. You did recently write this book, Fierce Joy, but before we sort of explore into the book, I would like to share that you are a long-term cancer survivor. When were you first diagnosed, and am I saying it right? Is it Ewing sarcoma cancer?
Yes, it is. It's Ewing sarcoma. And I was diagnosed for the first time in 1967 when I was 5, and then again in 1975 when I was 13.
And so what really happened as a result of this, being diagnosed with this form of cancer?
Well, I was given a lot of tests and chemotherapy and radiation. I was able to keep my leg when I was 5. But the bone cancer returned at 13, and they couldn't give me any more radiation, so they had to amputate my leg.
So this specific cancer attacks certain parts of the body?
It's a bone cancer, so it attacks the deep tissue of the bone. So it's a very slow-growing cancer, but it's one that is really still quite deadly. I was going to share, when I went to the ER last week, and the doctor asked a little bit about my medical conditions, and I told him that I was a Ewing sarcoma survivor, and he stepped back, and he said, whoa, almost nobody survives that still, so
wow.
I feel very gifted to be alive.
Wow, and then, so as a child, what scared you the most?
That's an interesting question. I think for me, it wasn't, needles definitely scared me quite a bit.
Geez,
they still do. But I just always had this sense that I had to protect my body and that there were certain people, medical people that would come and almost like invade my body. I think I was afraid of losing my sense of my will and the sense of myself, even as a little girl. I was always fighting.
And did that come to you when you were 5, or was that over the progression up to age 13?
I think it was already there before I was 5, for whatever reason, and then I think it got exacerbated at 5, and it's never gone away, honestly. So I have kind of a fierce commitment to protecting myself and my body.
Yeah, exactly. And in at what point did you feel empowered?
I felt empowered when I was dancing or being creative, when I was doing something that represented me, that had nothing to do with a definition of me by a medical facility or by a person who said, oh, she's the girl that has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really about self-expression. That's when I felt empowered.
And have you always had a prosthesis? Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are. No, that came at 13. When they amputated, they fit you. In most cases, they fit you with a prosthesis, so you can begin to learn to walk again.
And, of course, that's how you're able to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched a video with a gal when I was doing some research, and there was a ballerina who only had one leg, and she was doing all kinds of ballerina moves with a partner, of course. It was kind of beautiful.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. Yeah.
Now, you are the first amputee yoga instructor in the U.S. How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel really proud. I, at the time, I wasn't thinking about it that way. I was thinking about the fact that it was a calling for me. But it it was, nobody knew what to do with me, you know what I mean? And so I really had to create my own pathway. And I believe that that's part of the reason that I'm able to do what I'm doing today, is that I've created this other pathway for myself that's unique.
Well, I mean, you basically have embraced who you are.
Yeah, I really have. And that's a long process. It didn't happen overnight. And it really didn't happen until I started dancing a lot more and could get back in my body.
But embracing who you are, not just as an amputee, but the love for yoga, that, you know, when you fell in love with yoga, you're combining your spirituality, your yoga, everything about you into a powerful, you know, career.
Yes, it is powerful, and it's fulfilling, and it makes an impact on other people's physical, mental, spiritual, emotional well-being, and I can see the results in some cases slowly and in some cases very quickly.
Well, you're giving me goosebumps right now, and I'm having them all down my arms and my legs. Now, how much more did you have to learn beyond traditional yoga, and do your students actually use their prosthesis when they do yoga, or do they do it without?
Well, that's another great question. It's a mix. Some people feel more comfortable without the prosthesis or prosthetics, and some people prefer to do it with. I would say the people who are wearing the prosthesis aren't dealing with a lot of pain anymore, and they tend to be very active. And the people who aren't doing with the prosthesis tend to be in a lot of pain, or the prosthetic is really not well made or not fitting them very well, and they just, or it feels burdensome to them, and they just don't feel enough freedom, so they prefer to do it without.
So really either way is encouraged.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, there's so many people that lead active lives after experiencing very traumatic injuries, you know, such as yourself, obviously. What inspired you to overcome such adversity at such a young age, and where did your confidence come from?
That's a great question, and I believe the operative phrase is young age.
Oh, okay. So that's where your confidence came from, because you were just, you know, uninhibited.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, youth has a lot of, you know, if you have kids, you know, kids are very resilient. And for them and for me, it was more, it was more of a thought of, this is really in my way of playing and having fun. So when can I go back and have fun? When can I play, and how can I play? And there's a lot of loss in that as well, because there's a lot of looking out the window and seeing the world out there and me inside the hospital.
How long were you in the hospital for?
I was lucky enough to never be in the hospital for more than 2 weeks. I certainly know people that have been in the hospital for months and months and months and months.
Yeah.
But I understood that getting out of the hospital and moving my body and getting fresh air and feeling a sense of normalcy, not in the rhythm of a hospital, was very important to my health.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we only have about a minute before we have to go to a commercial, but, you know, having a sense of independence is so key to, you know, speculating, to any person that has, you know, is an amputee or has, you know, a serious illness. How important was that to you, and how important is it to you today?
Well, it's a great question as well. Independence is a charged word for me, because my experience of independence was more like survival, because I didn't have the best support network, and I've had to do a lot, and I mean a lot, on my own, even being dropped off at the hospital when I was 13 to, you know, just be at the hospital alone getting chemo. So, independence can mean isolation for me. So now my sense of independence, I mean, I'm always independent. I just get up and go and do. And now what I'm learning is I want interdependence, and so I can learn to really connect and trust others. And yeah, that feels more authentic to me at this stage of my life. But I'm definitely fiercely independent.
So interdependence is, okay, well, that's interesting. All right, well, we are going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and chat with you more. We're speaking with Marcia Danzig, and her book is Fierce Joy, and you can find it at fiercejoy.net, and you can also find her at yogaforamputees.com. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and you're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Are you willing to stretch and release the shadows of your past? Are you willing to go beyond your limitations? Some of the most profound lessons are from the teachings of pain. No matter how diverse the human experience, no matter how complicated life goes on, getting on with it, that is the hard part. Like pain, hope is boundless. Discover how to transform emotional despair into a glorious transformation of self-love, reclaiming a deep connection to living again. I'm Cindy Barg. For consultations, please go to gettingbeyondlifestuff.com.
What if you could have more energy, shed inches in a healthy way, and get rid of the toxins in your home? Hi, I'm Donna Jewett, nutritional educator, and I've partnered with the number one natural nutrition company and the first real green company in the U.S. I can teach you how to have better health in just 31 days. Visit me at gethealthysolutions.myshackley.com. I'm passionately committed to helping you, your family, and the planet. Together, we can help you to achieve your goals. Contact me today at gethealthysolutions.myshackley.com.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Gordon, branch manager at Eastern Bank. At Eastern Bank, we care about our employees, our customers, and the communities we serve. For over five consecutive years, Eastern Bank has been rated the number one small business association lender. We believe that creating the best possible work environment is important. At Eastern Bank, our philosophy has also awarded us six consecutive years as one of the top places to work by the Boston Globe. Visit me at our Carver Road branch in Plymouth or an Eastern Bank near you.
And welcome back to Power. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and we are with Marcia Danzig, and she has recently written a book called Fierce Joy, and you can find her at fiercejoy.net. Marcia, what I want to talk about now is that we've all, we're all human beings. We all at some point have had, you know, negative thoughts. I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not as good as she is. How do you not compare yourself to others?
I still struggle with that, and I hope I'm not alone in saying that. What I've learned for myself is that when I do compare myself to others, and that turns into, come on, Marcia, you're not doing enough, or that's my phrase. Usually for me, I feel like it's some unattended grief or sorrow or loss that I haven't actually dealt with yet. So if I see somebody, for example, who has published a book named Fierce Joy or something, say that's the example of a mirror, and that person is doing really well and selling lots of books and whatever I'm projecting on that person, it's, what I've learned to do is ask myself, what have you lost? What are you grieving? What are you sad about? And let's try to fill that up with what you really need. So it's usually a deeper question to ask myself, and that always helps me.
So you really do still have challenges. I don't know. I kind of assumed that it's something that you had to teach yourself. Did you really have to teach yourself this concept, this way to react?
I think it's a little bit of yes and no. I grew up in upstate New York, and I can actually usually pick people out who are from upstate New York because we have this, I don't know if it's just a cultural behavior for that area, but we tend to treat everybody the same.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how, who you are, who you aren't, we're very down to earth. And so we're not really impressed with the outer. I can pick an upstate New York person a mile away. We're more like, hi, how are you? But I did have to learn through lots of reading and therapy and prayer, why is it that sometimes I feel that need to think, oh, I'm not doing enough or I'm not being enough, whatever mm-hmm. that might be. And that's where I've really come to understand that it's a spiritual loss. And that really needs to be grieved. So that's been learned, and then it's practiced.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about the marathon bombing in Boston?
Well, I have to say I was riveted to the television. There was a lot of shock in my system from that. But I was mostly thinking about that little boy who died and his family. That mm-hmm. really broke my heart. And then when I heard about the people who had lost limbs, friends of mine started to call and write and say, you know, you should call them and you should find out how you can reach them. And I did try, you know, they were so overwhelmed with everything. But I had this deep sense that they were going to be okay. I really did. I felt like the prosthetics are good now. They were getting so much support from the world, you know, loving them. And I think a human being can feel that when you feel that loved and supported.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that sense that they would be okay. And I also felt like it would end up giving them an even deeper appreciation for their own lives, and that they'd end up doing something even more amazing because of it. Maybe it's just my projection, but, you know, sometimes our losses do that. They make us do more amazing things than we ever thought we could.
Yes, and you know, I mean, that was going to be one of my other questions later on is, I don't know, it's sort of that I'm not good enough, but, you know, I haven't overcome as much as she has. I mean, there's also that, I don't know, it's a comparison, but, you know, you've overcome so much, you know, who am I? You know what I mean? And that goes all down to still comparing, but almost in the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to handle that. But you know, you must be familiar with Hugh Hare.
I am. He's really cool.
Yes, he is amazing. And I do read for the Boston Magazine at the Talking Information Center, and he really is amazing. And he's such a they're calling him a bionic pioneer.
He is, yeah.
And he grew up an avid climber and then, you know, lost both of his legs.
Yeah.
So everything that he's doing, I just feel also confident that, you know, everyone that was involved in the bombing, they're all in a safe place. They're all in a good place.
They are. And I will say, too, that we are very lucky to be in Boston. I mean, you know, it's like Harvard Medical School and Tufts and, you know,
exactly.
You know, people fly from all over the world to get their medical care in Boston.
Exactly.
So we're lucky.
Very lucky. Now, you have a PhD.
No, I don't have a PhD. I did not finish my PhD. I was very close to finishing my PhD, but my kidneys actually failed, and I couldn't continue. I was too sick.
And now, how on earth did that happen to you?
Well, you know, chemotherapy is very, very, it's a killer. It kills cancer cells. It's a killer of cells. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you can lose hair. You mm-hmm. can lose a bladder like I did. You can have damage to your kidneys from radiation and from all sorts of complications, internal bleeding. It's pretty violent on your system, I believe. And my kidneys just really, I think that they went through the ringer over a long period of time processing so much. You know, it's chronic. I mean, I've been dealing with this for 46 years now. So this particular body that I'm in is, it's processed a lot.
Yes.
And kidneys are they're the cleansers. And I think they overworked, and it was a process. The doctor told me that my kidneys would fail eventually, but at
really?
The time I thought it when I was really old, 40.
Oh, how cute! I know when we're young, we think 40's old. Now, so today, with all of the adult and young adult sarcoma cancer, do you feel like we've come a long way, or have we at all?
Yeah, I think we have. I mean, the simplest one that I could think of is the port. When I was going through chemotherapy, you had to get a needle every single time for your chemo. Mm-hmm. And so it went through the veins, and some of those drugs are extremely toxic and poisonous and, you know, inflammatory and just horrendous to experience. So simply the port, and to have more anti-nausea drugs, and I also think there's a lot more complementary medicine available. I mean, none of that was there when I was a little girl at all. So, and there wasn't really the support network that there is now. And I think there is a lot of research going on that, you know, but I have a little bit of a theory about it as well, and I don't know if it's very well received, but...
Well, hang on. Hold on to that thought, because I want to hear your theory. And I also want to mention that people can go to sarcomaalliance.org for some more information. But we are going to have to go to a commercial break. So we'll hear your theory when we come back. I do want to mention that I will be speaking on an Empowering Women panel, which is being put on by the Plymouth Area Chamber, and it will be held on May 22nd at the Plymouth Country Club. So you can go through the Plymouth Chamber website and sort of click through and get yourself a ticket if you're listening and you'd like to come to some Empowering Women luncheon. So I'm your host, Nicole Perry. I hope you keep that power button on right here on 95.9 WATD.
The Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce is a business organization with over 750 members across the Lower South Shore. They exist to serve not only local businesses, but the community at large. They offer a variety of business networking opportunities, sound a strong voice on local and regional business issues, offer educational seminars and special programs to their members. They also develop and support economic initiatives that improve the overall quality of life in the region. Join the Plymouth Area Chamber today. For more information, visit PlymouthChamber.com.
Looking for a unique gift or a photo of your favorite place? Deb Mayhew Artistry, located in the Independence Mall, is the perfect place to find that special item. In addition to beautiful local photography, Deb Mayhew Artistry offers merchandise by local artisans, showcasing superior craftsmanship. Deb Mayhew Artistry believes great merchandise can be affordable without compromising quality. Deb Mayhew Artistry has something to fit every budget. Find them at the Independence Mall in Kingston, opposite the food court at the red entrance. You can also visit DebMayhewArtistry.com.
Got photos? Physical Photos, formerly known as Images Everything, turns your photos into practical items that you can use every day. Order online at PhysicalPhotos.com. Get great gifts like an iPhone cover with your kid's photo. Physical Photos cares about your photos and about the gifts they help you create. Ever had a photo party? Invite your family and friends over to see the most popular products from PhysicalPhotos.com and earn free photo gifts. Or become a Physical Photos consultant today. Inquire at PhysicalPhotos.com.
And welcome back to Power. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and we are with Marcia Danzig, who recently, I keep saying your name wrong, Danzig, recently wrote a book, Fierce Joy, and you can find her at fiercejoy.net and also yogaforamputees.com. And we were just talking about your theory, about how far along we've come. What is your theory, Marcia?
Well, you know, there are many parts of the world where people live close to the land, and there's little pollution, and they have the support of a tight-knit community. And they often don't have the levels of cancer that we do in this culture. And this is actually, there's Native American traditions and other traditions that often look at the community as a whole, that if a child is sick in a community, rather than focusing just on the child's sickness, they focus on the community and say, where are we sick?
Oh.
Yeah, what are we doing to create the sickness in this innocent child? And
wow.
That's true. You know, this culture is a power-driven culture, and there's a lot of pollution. There's a lot of, there's just a lot of lack of connection here. And you know, cancer is a disease that needs a host to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
And children are certainly very vulnerable.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, that they sort of take that ownership.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing wrong?
Yeah, or not even as wrong, but also like, how can we improve? If we make it a positive, like, what can we do to change the way things are so that our children are not sick and so that our families are healthy and so that we can share more and not, you know. But yesterday I was taking a walk, and there are all these beautiful houses in Falmouth at the beach, and then there was one house that was the prettiest house, and yet it had all these signs like, "Do not enter," you know, "No trespassing." You know what I mean? It set up this standard for the house, like, you don't want to go there.
I know.
You know,
they're living in fear.
Yeah. Fear creates its own. Its own agenda, and it can affect our bodies.
I don't like to live that way. I didn't even lock one of my doors last night.
Oh dear.
I know. And I thought, oh my God, we made it. You know, my kids were laughing. So you do live on Cape Cod. Now, mm-hmm. How long have you been down the Cape?
I've been on the Cape for a little over a year. Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful here.
And so, but you grew up in New York.
I grew up in upstate New York, and I've lived lots of different places, so this is the most recent place, and it's been quite an interesting journey. It's different from other parts of Massachusetts. I'm really enjoying it.
I think it suits your personality, though. It's very calming down the Cape, right?
It is. It's beautiful. Plymouth's beautiful, too. I actually go there for a little, you know, afternoon trips for coffee and that kind of thing. So.
And come to my meetings.
I loved it.
your book. What did you say? You said it's not written in a traditional way because you have poems and things in
mm-hmm.
your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I haven't read it yet, but I went on your website and I was able to listen to all kinds of different beautiful little snippets that you have. I feel like your philosophy. And you're very fundamentally sound, and with your philosophy and your spirituality, can you describe some of the emotions that you went through, specifically, you know, proving yourself and pretending, which I thought was interesting, and your perspective?
Mm. Well, for me, proving is about, you know, can I be normal? But, you know, honestly, it was normal.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And overachieving.
Mm-hmm.
Overachieving the expense of my health often, you know, led to exhaustion. And Cape Cod's been a great example of really stopping and resting.
Oh, overachieving to prove yourself to the point of exhaustion.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Gosh. Okay.
And trying to do what other people can do. And honestly, for example, I literally cannot have a full-time job. I cannot. I need to have a job that I can control and that suits my lifestyle, because my number one priority is always my health. And whenever I've had a full-time job,
your health,
I get sick.
Yes.
I'm just exhausted and I can't balance everything. I need more time. So for me, owning my own business has been ideal. And I'm lucky enough that I can do that.
And do you feel that the majority of amputees actually go through a phase of pretending like you did?
You know, I don't know that. I honestly think, again, there's just more support now for people, and there's more education about disability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Disability Rights Act and things like that. These people that are living with disability, that have become activists. I mean, they're the ones who have changed Medicare and other medical insurance policies. They're the ones who've gotten handicapped spots. You know, they've worked really hard to get ramps into buildings, and a lot of those things were not available. It was just like you had two separate worlds that you could live in.
Well, and a great example is Hugh Herr. I don't even know how to say his last name. H-E-R-R.
Yeah.
Herr? Her?
I think I'll just go with Herr.
But he's a great example of that, really taking the prosthetics to a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but what if, you know what I mean? Like, there are people in our country who can't afford prosthetics, and so their life is very different.
Yes.
And not saying that they are meant to be wearing them, but for me, it would be a very different experience for me not to have the ability to wear a prosthesis.
Yes.
You know, it changes everything. It's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Now, how is there nothing to prove with yoga? I love that you said that.
Well, you know, again, that's the yoga that we're observing here in America, and sort of I call not even Western yoga, but really American yoga, is really pose-driven, yoga pose-driven. And mm-hmm. Those of us who've been practicing a long time and understand the spiritual roots of yoga know that asana, yoga, that means sitting, having a seat in consciousness, seat in awareness, is the poses are actually just the fluff. And the pose is just to clear out anything that keeps you from having a still mind. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you have lower back pain, it's really hard to sit and meditate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to move out the back pain first, or at least work with it or learn how to work with it and hang out with it, but not get gripped into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, yoga is really about knowing your divine nature at all times and that you're connected to everything and that you're a part of everything.
And we are going to have to go to a break, but we have another minute. I want to ask you, how do you handle suffering, or how do you suggest people handle suffering when everything does seem hopeless?
That's a great question for a minute. I encourage people to feel the feeling until it dissipates, as long as they have a therapist or someone they can turn to, because some people have serious depression because of hopelessness. And I think it's really important not to go to skip that step. And I have a background in movement therapy, and there's a process called the layers of personality. And we have these different ways that we handle traumas in our lives, and hopelessness is part of the death layer, and it means really dying to all your beliefs and attachments about what life is supposed to be. But the next layer is life layer. So, you know, you can hang out, you can kind of hang out in hopelessness for a while and pretend not to be. I mean, I've certainly have. But you don't feel fully alive, you know?
Uh-huh.
But somehow, it's like if you have, the best cry in the world. You ever had the best cry? And
yeah.
You just feel better.
Yes.
You feel freer.
Mm-hmm.
You feel lighter. That's my take on it. And also, I'm very spiritual, so I understand that there's more to life than just this. So I don't think I could handle it without my spirituality.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be back with Marcia Danzig, and her book is Fierce Joy, and you're listening to Power right here on 95.9 WATD.
Are you a passionate business owner struggling with how to make your marketing communications more powerful? Do you wonder if they are working to bring in new customers? Hi, I'm Laura Willis of Willis Works Communications. All of us are bombarded with brand messages and images every day, making it harder to attract more business. As a brand strategist, I use a combination of both art and science to help you authentically connect with more customers. To build a more passion-focused, powerful brand that will help your business grow, email me at laura@willis-works.com.
Got photos? Physical Photos, formerly known as Images Everything, turns your photos into practical items that you can use every day. Order online at physicalphotos.com. Get great gifts like an iPhone cover with your kid's photo. Physical Photos cares about your photos and about the gifts they help you create. Ever had a photo party? Invite your family and friends over to see the most popular products from physicalphotos.com and earn free photo gifts. Or become a Physical Photos consultant today. Inquire at physicalphotos.com.
Hi, this is Meredith Gordon from wineflowersglass.com, and when I'm painting in my studio, I love to listen to Powerful Women Revealed every Sunday at 12:15 on 95.9 WATD.
And welcome back to Power. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and we are with Marcia Danzig, and her book is Fierce Joy, and you can find her at fiercejoy.net and yogaforamputees.com and also colormeyoga.com. Is that right?
That is right. That's for children.
And that's for children. Now, I have a question that I want to ask you right now, mm-hmm. and it's sort of changing up the subject completely, mm-hmm. but I don't want to not ask. what insults you the most? I really want to ask this question because I think so many people insult people. And we need to stop doing that. People need manners.
Yes, they do. So talking to the queen of manners.
The queen of manners. So what insults you the most? And you know, does the word amputee or disability insult you? I know the answer, and I actually want to answer it for you. I feel like it's the tone of voice from people. Is that right?
Well, actually, I feel very differently.
Okay.
Again, I think it's my years of yoga practice, but the foundation of yoga is a word called ahimsa, which means nonviolence or non-harming. It also sometimes can be translated as love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are looking or saying something, it's out of fear. And if I can step back and say, oh, because really what is happening is it's a reaction to their own fear of death.
Oh,
I know it's kind of heavy, but it's true.
Oh my gosh! So you actually embrace compassion?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I actually am not offended for myself. I usually get angry when people stare but don't ask, and that's why I love working with children, because children stare and then they're
what's
wrong with you, you know?
Yes, kids are great. One of my son had a question. Do you experience any type of subconscious pain in your leg that is not there?
That's a great question, and it's actually a whole project I'm working on for Carolina's Pain Institute, which is phantom pain. So it's almost like the leg that's
phantom.
Not there can still have these residual pains. I don't get them.
Oh, okay.
And so it can dissipate over time. And what it is, it's a brain loop that has to teach itself to re-loop.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is this the thing that we talked about, mm-hmm. that you're going to be going to North Carolina to speak on?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Wow. Well, now, what advice would you give to the listener that is sort of in the thick of, you know, we were talking about suffering earlier and hopelessness. What advice would you give somebody listening?
Well, first of all, I would say I am really sorry that you're suffering. And I think sometimes people don't get to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we often, me included, I want to go right to like, oh, how can I help them? But it's important to be with them. And what that does is it validates their experience, as opposed to, especially if you're like you or me, you know, we're kind of like normal girls, you know, we just want to get dressed up and have a good life. And
mm-hmm.
We don't want to bother people with our, you know, suffering kind of thing. And so it's important for a woman or anybody to be validated. And what I've done, and this may sound really bizarre, but you don't have to do this, is almost like make a little altar to it, or a little area in your house where you can journal and write about it. And to ask yourself, you know, what gift is this suffering giving me? Or superpower?
What is the payoff?
What is the payoff? Well, I actually like superpower because payoff to me has a kind of a... it sounds a little bit like The Godfather. What's a superpower that you didn't know you had until now?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then also to forgive yourself completely all the time for any blame or shame you might feel.
All the time.
Yes, all the time. And to be less brave and more honest and ask for help.
More vulnerable.
Yeah, more vulnerable. And also move your body. Whatever you can do, move your body, because physically, when there's... stagnation, there's sickness. And when there's movement, things do change.
I got to move more.
Everything, it really, 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 really helps your body.
I know. We get lazy, though.
Some people do. I don't. But, you know.
Yeah, you don't get lazy. I know that.
But for me, it's vital. Like, if I don't move my body every day significantly, I can feel it immediately, but that's because my body's used to it.
Well, now what I want to ask, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
There are so many people that have overcome their, you know, certain milestones and go on to live incredible lives, such as yourself. And you're an inspiration to me. I want to know who inspires you.
Well, I I am not inspired by an individual person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very inspired by children, by natural beauty, by creativity. And I actually have to say I'm very inspired by people who choose to step way out of their comfort zone and really just do what they set out to do, mm-hmm. no matter what. So that action inspires me a lot.
Because they're embracing their vulnerability.
Yeah, absolutely. But children, I would say, more than anything, children inspire me because they're so in the moment. They're so full of play and wonder and curiosity, and I love to keep that really alive in myself, and that provides endless inspiration to me.
And now all of the little snippets that I was listening to on your website, which was fiercejoy.net, are these all excerpts from the book?
Not all of them are. Some of them are comments on, mm-hmm. you know, experiencing suffering and sickness and the benefits and the blessings and all of that.
Now, I'd like to list a couple of them.
Yeah. Sure.
Sort of to put a teaser out there, 10 steps to finding your joy, the meaning of fierce joy, the sexy side of sickness. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite that I listened to several times, This I Believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one of my other favorites is the DIS, D-I-S, oh, yeah. Readings from Fierce Joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got so much going on. Is there anything that you're not going to do? You've got the book now. You've got the Color Me Yoga for Children. They can find you at colormeyoga.com, fiercejoy.net to find your book, yogaforamputees.com. You're doing it all.
I'm doing it all and doing it in a really, really balanced way that works for me. And people keep coming into my life to help me, and that's in that concept of interdependence. Once I decided that I couldn't do this independently, the people are just showing up saying, hey, you know, I really like what you're doing, and how can I help you? And I'm receiving it right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been watching you, not stalking you, but watching you for a little while, and I couldn't wait to have you on the show, and I was so thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. It feels really like such a gift and a privilege, and I hope that my story, my experiences help other people who are going through major loss and trauma and chronic illness.
And yes.
And get to the other side.
And inspire people. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And really empowering people with, you know, your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for being here today. And you can find her again at fiercejoy.net, Marcia Danzig. We are out of time. I want to thank you for listening and recognizing these powerful women such as Marcia. I do invite you to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/powerfulwomenrevealed, and you can find all of our podcasts there, as well as pwr.podbean.com. I hope you will tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.